let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me.
Okay. So what we want to keep in mind tonight is you believe in me, you adhere to me, you trust in me, you rely on me. Of course, he said that for God too. And it's the same thing. To believe is more than, because the devils believe and they tremble. But you believe, you adhere to, you trust in, and you're relying on God. And so that's, you know, that's one of the foundational stones that we have. So, okay, let's go to verse 10. 10, 11, and 12. But 10.
Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles, deeds of power.
Okay, wait, we go back to 10 again. Okay. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And one of the songs we sang tonight is, you know, about Jesus being in us, and here you see the Father's in us, and so this is what reality is. He's in. They are in us. The Godhead is in us. So what I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority. And again, Jesus is our example. This is how we are to go through our Christian walk here on the earth. Is not leaning on our own understanding, not trying to establish our own righteousness, not trying to establish our own glory or for our own benefit, not trying to do what we want to do when we want to do it, but allowing us to be, you know, the mind, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And his mind was, I come to do thy will, O God. So I don't say on my own authority. What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord. But the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles, his deeds of power. So the Father is healing through his Son Jesus, which glorifies Jesus Christ. It's a witness that God had sent him, and it was also glorifying the Father, because Jesus turned right around, and that's what he's doing. He's glorifying the Father. He isn't trying to take it for himself. He's glorifying the Father. Okay, next.
Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least that these works that I do in my Father's name convince you.
Okay. So believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you can't trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you, or be a witness to you that God is directing me. God is, I am who I say I am. And you know, it says in the Word about, and he was working with them with signs and wonders following. Again, Jesus is our example. And so as he walked this earth, you know, and he testified before the Sanhedrin, you know, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Well, God is with us. Amen? God is with us. So believe me that I am in the Father in me. And this is what we got to recognize, that they're here. Now, we have to cooperate. We have to submit ourselves to God. Because if we don't trust in, rely upon, adhere to, I forget there was another one, but if we don't do that, then we're not abiding in him, because we're not keeping our part of the bargain. But he does the works. See, And this is what Jesus is saying. Else believe me for the sake of the very works, because he said in the verse before that it wasn't him doing the works, that God was doing his own works through him. And God wants to do his works through us. What works? The works he has predetermined before the foundation of the world. You go to Ephesians chapter 2, and it says that, you know, by grace we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has foreordained for us to walk in. So these works, they're not something we dream up. It's something, just like you gave testimony of that girl. And, you know, Misak had an experience like that, too, when she was first saved. And the Lord told her, get up and go to the consulate and wear a kimono. And, you know, you're thinking, how can somebody that's just learning or just coming in, how can they hear so easily? And I'm trying to hear. Well, anyway, to whom much is given, much is required. Amen? And then maybe along the way, maybe, just maybe, we haven't been listening. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's harder to go from minus 20 than it is to go from zero. If you don't know anything and you're not, you know, they don't have anything, you know, it's easier to move. But if you're minus 20, it takes a lot. You got to get back to zero, then you can start to get into the plus. And it's amazing, you know, he doesn't even, you know, get upset if you can't trust me. I mean, at least look at the works. Look at what I'm doing. And this ought to convince you that the Father is actually in me. We need to have works following us too. But they're not our works. They're his works. And so these works bear witness to the fact. And we're going to, okay, next verse.
I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father.
Okay. Now, he's saying, you know, the person are going to be able to do that. They're going to do greater things. The things that I do, and will do even greater things than these, because I go unto the Father. Now, but we know that Jesus told us that he wasn't doing it, but the Father was doing it through him. And they were his works. And it's the same thing with us. But see, he was trusting in him. He was relying on God. He was adhering to God. I do always those things that please him. And so the Father never left him, or he never left the Father. We can't say that. But he's working on us, and as we get closer and closer to him, and as a spirit, as we believe in God, the Spirit of God is changing us into his image. He's changing, and Christ is being formed in us. So it's a process with us. Okay, because I go to the Father, you know, that's part of the reason. Okay, again, it's not the person that's being glorified here. It still works the same way. It's God working through us, through our faith in Jesus Christ and using his name. 26. Okay, go, keep going. We're going to go to 26.
And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in through the Son.
Okay. I will do, I myself will grant, give whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, presenting all that I am. Okay, we're believing in Jesus Christ. We're believing in that righteousness that we receive. We're made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. And God's allowing us to be a part of that. And this, you know, this plugs into to Acts chapter 1. You shall be witness when you receive power, tarry in Jerusalem to receive power from on high, then you shall be witnesses unto me. be a witness to the fact that he is in us, that the Father is in us, because the same works that Jesus did, the same way, are going to be worked. He's going to work them through us. Things that he has preordained even before the foundation of the world. Blows your mind, doesn't it? Next.
Yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, as presenting all that I am.
Okay, it's all, you know, it's in Jesus' name. It's in his character. It's in his nature. It's in his nature. It isn't against his nature. He isn't going to provide something against his nature. But it's according to his will. It's according to his nature. If you ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. 1 John 5 something. But, okay, next.
If you really love me, you will keep obey my commandments.
Okay. That's a test, you know, that if we can't love him, it's because we can't keep his commandments, it's because our love isn't pure somehow, some way. We just need to go back to him. Somehow get that straightened out. Okay.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever.
Okay. So, if you love me, you'll do what I want. You'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my word. And then I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, strengthener, a standby, that he may remain with you forever. This comforter, this spirit, does a lot for us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we walk in the spirit, like it says, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If by the spirit you do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you're going to live. So the power to overcome the flesh is in the spirit. It's being filled with the spirit. Now, the devil knows that, and that's why he does everything he can to get me and you out of being filled with the Spirit, that we do something that would grieve the Spirit of God. It would hinder his work for us, because if God's Spirit, what Jesus gives to us from the Father, if he is allowed to have control of my life, like as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Okay, well, we're being led, but maybe not steady, you know. It's not steady. But if it was steady, I mean, Satan is no match for the Spirit of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Greater is he that is in you, and he that is in the world. And we're going to see that it's not only the Spirit, but it's God the Father and God the Son. Okay, next.
Spirit
of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome back to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you.
And probably he's saying this, and they're probably saying the same thing when he said,
you know where I'm going, and so you know the way, and you know where I'm going. And they said, how can we know the way when we don't even know where you're going? And he said, you say I do know the way. And so, you know, show us the Father, and it suffices us. So here again, probably in their natural mind, they're thinking, we don't, where's the Spirit? You know, is it God the Father and you? Now, you're the Son of God, you're the Messiah, but what's with the Spirit? But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. He was with them because Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Beyond measure, okay? So, okay.
I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you.
Okay. So this is a promise not only for his disciples, but for us too. Jesus is there for us. He's our advocate. If we sin in 1 John 2, you know, I say these things that you sin not, but if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So again, Jesus isn't condemning us. Jesus is there to go and bat for us, just like Moses did with the children of Israel and said, God, you know, If I have found favor in your sight, then forgive these people and go among us. And God said, okay, I'll do it. So that's why, as an example, just as Christ's example, we are to pray one for the other. Amen? If you see your brother sin a sin that is not unto death, pray for them. Why? Because Jesus is praying for you. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's interceding for us continually before the Father. It says in Hebrews, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Okay? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody's praying for me. Well, Jesus is. And if he doesn't believe, I mean, if he can't help you, nobody can. But he can. I always think about Peter. You know, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. And I don't know why, but they let him sift him like wheat. And he denied, you know, Christ three times. But he said, I prayed for you, and after you're converted, strengthen your brother. Just turn right around, strengthen your brother. Okay, next.
Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. You will live also.
Okay, next.
At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Wow. I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I'm in you. That we all may be one. Father, that they all may be one, even as we are one. This is what God's going for. This is what God, just like in a marriage, to become one. He's making us one with him. Next.
The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him.
Okay. Obedience opens up the door to more things. Disobedience closes the door. So as we're obedient in a little things, it opens doors. You know, we say, well, if this was really important, I'd be obedient. But this isn't, you know, it isn't a big deal. No, the big deal is to be obedient. No matter what God says, to be obedient. Because disobedience closes the door. But obedience opens the door. Now, it's like a snowball effect because, see, he that loves me, whoever really loves me, will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, and manifest myself to him. And see, that's how we're changed into his image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, because we're looking with an unveiled face into his glory. And we're changed into that image. And again, that verse in 1 John, that, you know, now we are the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. But if we, the more we see him down here, the more his Spirit is able to change us into that image from glory to glory. Again, we are his workmanship. So it's not something done in the flesh. It's not something keeping some kind of law or something. It's us just being obedient to him. And then he does the hard part. He changes us. He takes out our stony heart, gives us a heart of flesh, causes us to walk in his statutes, to keep his judgments and do them, so that he gets the glory and he gets the praise. Amen? Amen? Just like if he would heal you physically. You didn't heal yourself. He did it. You had to ask, you had to believe, but he did it. Amen? So it's him that's going to change you. It's him that's going to make you into what he's called and chosen you to be. You're his workmanship, and he's going to get the glory for it. Because the two before didn't cut itself. He cut it. He's cutting you. He's making me. He's making us into his image. But he can only go as far as I submit myself to him. Submit myself to him. Okay, next.
Judas, not the Iscariot, ask him, Lord, how is that you will reveal yourself, make yourself to will to us and not to the world?
Okay. Okay, how are you going to reveal yourself? Make yourself real to us and not to the world. How are you going to do that without showing everybody? Well, next.
Jesus answered, "If a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place with him."
Okay. When Jesus walked this earth, he was continually in communion with his Father. It wasn't just he prayed in the morning and then walked around during the day and then at night he prayed again. It's like Paul said, pray without ceasing. And so Jesus was continually in communion with his Father. His Father never had to leave him because he never did anything to offend or grieve the Spirit of God. So he's walking with God, and so he's hearing God. And God's able to show him things in the Spirit, just like that. You know, when that guy came and he said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. Jesus marveled. I never found such great faith, no one not in all Israel. Well, he doesn't know all things because he's in the flesh. But see, when that happened, God had that planned, right away he realized the spiritual aspect of that and said, he marveled at that. Wow. And that was like a wow, it was a blessing to him to find somebody who really believed. But where did the faith come from? God. So it's like one time there was a prophecy given over, well, actually it was Dan Eckert. Him and his wife, they were first going, I think they were just getting started out, and he asked for prayer, and so we gathered around and prayed. And God gave him a prophecy and said, you know, as you go, you're going to run into whatever you need during your, as you go, you're going to find these things, provisions along the road. It's almost like one of them games they had on the computer, you know, you just found the things. Anyway, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place with him. So, and again, it's like Smith Wigglesworth when he went to bed. Good night, Lord. That's all he said. Because he was in communion with him all day long. And it wasn't like, well, I got to go down my prayer list now. No, he had prayed it. And so that's when I read that, I started, when somebody asked me for prayer, then I'd say, well, let's pray right now. Let's do it right now, because if I go home, I'll forget about it, or maybe something else happened. But anyway, go ahead, next.
Anyone who does not really know me does not observe and obey my teaching. And the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me.
Okay. So in the same way, when God's going to use us to teach someone and to minister to someone, we're not, it might come out of our mind, but we're realizing, because we're going to be walking with him and he's dwelling with us, that this is what God wants me to say to you. This is what God wants me to say to you. We're going to be led by the Spirit of God. You might know a lot of verses. Maybe God wants to just show them one verse. And he might even say it. A lot of the New Testament is from the Old Testament. And sometimes they misquoted it. Do you think they misquoted it? Or do you think the Spirit requoted it? Or revised it? Or let's say...
Amplified it.
Amplified it or modernized it. Or, you know, hey, it's God. He can do it any way he wants to. But you can say, hey, they quoted that wrong. It doesn't say that here. But it's the meaning. It's the meaning in it. That's why we have so many translations, you know, that's... Yeah, you look at it a different way. But anyway, the teaching's not coming from us. Now, out of us, you know, like the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, Jesus said, you know, out of their bag they get old and new things. You know, a lot of things they knew were pertinent to what was happening, but there were new things too. So, yeah, he can pull from what we know in our minds, in our and what he's written in our hearts. But he's pulling it out. He's telling us to say it. We're not figuring it out. Like, oh, well, let me take you through the Roman road, or let me take you through this. If God says to do it, do it. But the thing is, we're to be led of the Spirit and not leaning on our own understanding, because the power is in the Spirit. It's the Spirit that convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Amen? Okay, next.
I have told you these things while I am still with you.
Okay, next.
Comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall and remind you of, bring to your remembrance, everything I have told you.
Okay, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the jack of all trades, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He's in my name, but the Father's sending it. In my place, to represent me, to act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And, you know, we're all being taught of God, but it's by the Spirit or through the Spirit. And he will cause you to recall and will remind you of, bring to remembrance everything I've told you. I mean, they didn't have the stuff we had to write with and keep stuff down. Besides that, you write stuff and write stuff, and it's like for a year, and then you got a book. Where is it? You know, how do you catalog it all, and how do you know where it's at? But God already figured that out. He says, I'm going to write it on your heart. I'm going to write it on your mind. That's the new covenant. And the Spirit will bring it back to remembrance when I want to. When you need to know, the Spirit of God can bring it back to you. Okay, we're going to skip some stuff. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Okay.
But you shall receive power, and that's dunamos. That's where we get the word dynamite from. It's actually spelled D-Y. And I don't know why, but in Greek it's spelled, it sounds doom instead of dynamite. But anyway, it's dunamos. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem. You know, when we saw Samson down there.
Titan Sound.
And I remember, in the scripture where it says, the lion came and roared at him, and the Spirit rose up within him, and he killed the lion with his bare hands. Amen? But the Spirit would come on him, and just, then he'd turn into, the Hulk, and he'd be able to, kill a mess of soldiers and everything. But it was the Spirit came on them. And so the Spirit will rise up inside of us because he's inside of us. But he's our ability. He's our efficiency. He's our might. You, like it's been mentioned tonight, you that begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? No. That's Satan's way. Because he can't deal with the Spirit, but he can deal with me being religious. He can deal with me. Now, I want to inject this here. Go to 2 Timothy 3:5. Really came out to me, and it's funny how I you can't see anything, and then all of a sudden the Spirit just opens it up. But just till towards the end of the day, and I don't know if I could bring it out now, but except the sense that, well, let's see if we get it here. Okay, read this.
For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them.
Okay. A form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The word deny, not accept, to reject, to refuse something offered. To refuse something
offered. Freely you have received.
Jesus said to his disciples, freely what?
Give it.
But you got to freely receive it. Amen? You can't give something unless you receive it. And we don't receive it by works. We receive it by faith. We receive it by just believing what he says, his promises. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's not according to our piety. And there's nothing wrong with piety, but we can't, that the self-righteousness doesn't get it. So to deny is not to accept something, it's to reject something or to refuse something that's offered to you. Now power. Oh, this will get you. Okay, we understand power in a sense of miracles. Miracles of healing, miracles of provision, miracles of strength, you know, just awesome miracles, okay? But this is the definition, to perform miracles. Moral, power, and excellence. It's power. This power means to perform miracles, but it also means power, to moral power and excellence. In other words, it's the ability to be what God has called and chosen you to be morally. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's why in Romans 8, you know, if by the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you're going to live. Walking in the Spirit is believing in God's promises. And as you believe in his promises, then he does the work. So it's not just the physical healing, but the spiritual healing. Because this is eternal. Physical healing is temporary. We're going to be here. We don't need it in heaven. But you're never going to get to heaven unless you get the moral healing. But it is a healing. It's not something we achieve. But Satan deceives some people. And that though they might have begun in the spirit, Satan gets them switched off the track and they start believing that they have to do this and do that and becomes the letter of the law, and instead of life, it brings death. And they refuse. You know, they don't know they're doing it. They're deceived. And that's what the Galatians were doing. They were deceived. But his way, you know, he said he's able to keep me from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. The God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless, flawless unto the day of Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. But I got to ask for it. I got to seek for it. I got to knock for it. I got to believe it. I got to see my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. As soon as I put my hope in circumcision. Now, in their time, it was circumcision. But we don't have that problem. But we have, you can sure there's something in around us that Satan wants to use to get us off the track. And if he can't get us into hell, he can keep us from entering in to all of the promised land that God has promised us. And each, just like the tribes of Israel, each one of us have a section in that promised land. Each one of us have a heritage there, an inheritance that's been promised to us. To Jesus, through Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And so, Satan wants to keep us in the wilderness. Because that doesn't bring glory to God. God's not able to bring them into the promised land. It wasn't God's fault they didn't go into the promised land. They didn't believe they could do it. And so they hint, Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. They hindered God. And so I don't want to stop hindering God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Come on, I want to stop it. I want to stop it. So the only way I can do that is to cry out to God, I want to help me, right? Help me. Go to James chapter 4, 5 through 8.
Or do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the spirit whom He has cause to dwell in us, yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love.
Now, just to give you a little background, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust, you have not, you kill, you desire to have, but you cannot obtain, you fight, you war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask, you receive not, because you ask amiss, you may consume it upon your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of God is the enemy of God. So, these are the things that Satan is tempting us with, lust. But it's not just lust, like sexual lust. It's you're even if they're desiring spiritual things, but they're desiring them in the flesh. It's like the one place about, you know, don't stir up envy one against the other. Like, you know, being jealous of one another, being envious of one another, that's in the flesh. And so that's lust. And now he says, do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose? It says the Spirit, whom he has caused to dwell in us, yearns over us, and he yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. So the Bible talks about us being able to grieve the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the things we learned in the beginning. We got into the Spirit was the fact that he is a person, that he can be grieved, and he knows anger, and he, you know, all the feelings that we have, the Spirit has. So
when we sin, when we don't listen to him, when we do our own thing,
we're grieving the Holy Spirit, and he is a person. We believe he's a third person in the Trinity. He's a person, and so he grieves. It grieves him. And then God can't do, the Spirit can't work in us the way he wants to do it. But, okay, the next verse. So he yearns that the Spirit would be welcome. We want to welcome, that we sang that song tonight, you know.
Spirit, come. Well, he's here, he's in us. But we're asking,
when we sing that, we want to get that thought that, you know, we want him to rise up within us. We want him to rise up within us. Okay, but he gives us more and more grace. Now see, here we see grace and being compared with power of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the definitions of grace is a divine influence on the heart reflected in the life. We can come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace, ability, power to help us in the time of our need. And he's talking there of temptations. So, but he gives us more and more grace, that is power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. Because the Spirit is greater than your flesh. And also the Spirit is greater than the spirit that's in this world. Amen? The spirit of this world. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and the haughty. But God, I'm going to put God here, but God gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. Goes against my flesh. I'm trying to get there, God, and he's telling me, you're not humble enough to receive it? Right? It's like him buying me an ice cream cone and handing it to me, and I said, oh no, I got to work for it. I remember one time we were in Okinawa, that, and I had some time to get alone, and I got in a room by myself, and I had some time, you know, I had space. So I said, well, I'm going to seek God and see what he wants to show me. And I opened up the Bible. Bam! There it was. You know what I thought? It's too easy. Can't be God. And I kept going and kept going and found out that that was what he was telling me. But since it only took opening the Bible, it couldn't be God. Yes, it can. If he wants you to wait half a day, he can make you wait half a day. He can do that. I know he can do that. But if he wants to show you right away, he can do it. No, it's got to be according to my sacrifice. No! He sacrificed. Amen?
And that doesn't mean we're not going to sacrifice things. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, it's not according to your sacrifice. It's according to His sacrifice. It's a gift. Amen? And He's going to give you the ability to sacrifice. Because it's the same Spirit. By the Spirit, He offered Himself up a sacrifice to God. And by the Spirit, we can offer ourselves a sacrifice to God. It's God that's working in you. It's God that's empowering you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's empowering you. He wants to empower me. Not so I can brag. Not so I can say, well, I'm not like them. Because He continually gives grace to the humble. And all I got to do is start thinking it's me, and I push me up in the proud and the haughty, and guess what happens? He's not for me anymore. He's going against me. Because now I take on somebody else's spirit. Who's proud? Who's haughty?
The devil.
The devil. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's whose spirit. Jesus humbled Himself, He humbled Himself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought Himself not robbery to be equal God, but made Himself of no reputation, but took upon Him the form of a servant. Wow. And I'm trying to be somebody in the Spirit. But He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. That was Philippians 2, 12 and 13, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. God of peace, brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Wow. Making me pleasing, working in me that which is well-pleasing in His sight. And we don't have time. Colossians 1, 9 through 13. Filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, they may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened by the Spirit unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. Father, we just thank You tonight, Lord, because You're working in us. And You have these things planned for each one of us to do. You have an inheritance for each one of us, Lord, as if we represented a tribe. You have an inheritance, a special place. Just like Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, there's a place here for us, for each one of us. Each one of us have a part in the body. Every joint must supply, or we can never come to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us. Just continue to work with us. God, You showed us these things. And we realize that we're not there yet. But Lord, we pray that You would continue to work in us and draw us closer and closer to Yourself. Forgive us, God. And we don't even know all the places that we've offended Your Spirit or not walking Your Spirit or just go in the wrong direction. But God, we pray You continue to work in us and through us, that Your name would be magnified and glorified, Father. That through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the name You've given Him, that we could finish the works that You want to do through us for Jesus' glory and for Your glory. You said that we would, when we receive the Spirit, that we receive the power to be witness, to testify our life, our very nature to be a witness that we're different. God, Your love. And so that ought to be coming out of us. If You're in there, it'll come out of us. So Lord, again, but we can leave here tonight with hope. With an expectation. It's faith that worketh by love, and it's the hope of righteousness, that we have this expectation that's coming from you, that you that started this good work in us, you're going to finish it. You're going to perfect it. We just got to continue to believe in you and be in a place humble enough to just receive everything we need, just to receive it as a little child, just to receive it and not think that we got it because we're something great in ourselves. You're the treasure that's in the earthen vessel. So Lord, again, we thank you for what you've said to us tonight. We thank you, Lord. You write these things in our heart and put them in our minds. We thank you that the Holy Spirit of God will continue to put these bricks in where they belong, and that God, you will bring them back to our remembrance as we need it. And some things, Lord, our minds might never catch up with, but it doesn't stop you from changing us from the inside out. And so, God, we give you the glory and we give you the praise for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God.